Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Well, I think it's fair to say that all of us are really glad for technology and technological innovation. Of course, technology can extend human limits. It can replace lost limbs or, you know, allow us to see into the detail of the human DNA. Also, technology can overcome barriers of space and time. We can get across the other side of the world in a matter of hours, or we can even just talk to someone on the other side of the globe where before we wouldn't be able to do that. So we are all glad for modern technology. And today we're going to be reflecting on our relationship with technology, asking the question, I guess, particularly, is it ours to use as we will? Or do our tools shape us as much as we shape them? We'll be exploring this theme in relation to the recent film Her with our guest Mark Stevens, who's a lecturer in theology at the Wesley Institute. But first, have a listen to this recent Microsoft ad that aired during the Super Bowl.
What is technology? What can it do?
When I lost my eyesight, I thought that my painting days were over.
How far can we go?
By using your hands, you can actually control your x-ray.
Technology has the power to unite us.
Hang on, honey. Hang on.
There he is.
You see him?
I can see him.
It inspires us. Technology has taken us places we've only dreamed.
Now I can do whatever I want.
It gives hope to the hopeless. And it has given voice to the voiceless.
Now, Simon, you were struck particularly about this ad. Firstly, you know, who's talking throughout it?
The voice is that of Steve Gleason, who's a former American footballer who these days is in a wheelchair. He has Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a degenerative neurological disorder. And so the picture is him typing out these words, and they come out as a voice, computer-generated voice, and he's there with his son. And so it's a powerful image of the sort of things that technology can give you. And the images throughout that ad are things like a little boy who's been given some legs to walk on, he's hitting a baseball and this sort of thing. There's a deaf girl who's able to hear. There's all these sorts of... There's a soldier off in a distant country who watches on a computer screen the birth of his child. And you get that kind of almost religious-sounding language there, which is, you know, it has the power to unite us. This is technology. It gives hope to the hopeless, a voice to the voiceless. There's a real ring of, you know, this is something we can put our trust in. So it's a stunning ad, lots of great things in it, but it did strike me as something, a bit of a comment on, you know, where we're at in contemporary society.
So meaning that technology has produced such wonders in our lives, and it has, you know, as you've said, you know, given voice to the voiceless, as this guy says, so that we think in some ways that technology is our new God, do you think?
Well, maybe. I don't want to sound like I'm down on technology. I happen to be very glad to have been born in an age where there's your pain-free dentistry, for example. Technology itself isn't the problem, though. It's what we do with it. And we also know that technology's brought us cluster bombs and chemical weapons. And I thought the ad itself had this real sense of, here's what we can put our trust in. And I do think there's a strain within our world now where technology is the thing that we put our faith and our trust in.
It will save us,
essentially. That could well be taking us down the wrong path.
So even if we are really grateful for technologies in our lives, we have to, well, there's good reason to be wary of them at the same time, or at least wary of our own kind of worship, potentially, of technology.
Yeah, I mean, those of us who hold to religious faith would say that this would be, could be a misplaced trust. And so there's a sense in which you want to come back to thinking about not just our own creativity, which can be stunning and wonderful, but the fact that we are also subjects of a creator. I remember reading Neil Postman, who used to talk about technopoly and the idea of putting your trust in technology to deliver the things that you most need and sort of deliver the things that meet the longings of the human heart. And he was sort of cautioning, you know, warning against that because he thinks you go badly wrong.
Not only Neil Postman, MIT professor Sherry Turkle, who's written a lot about the new media technologies and the way that we engage with them, she says we don't need to reject or disparage technology. We need to put it in its place, which I think is an interesting kind of concept, given that, you know, we want to transcend our limitations with technology and it can make us think that we're limitless in some ways. So for you, what is that place of technology? Where should we slot it into rather than thinking that it's the ultimate thing for us?
Well, for sure that it's a tool to deliver, when it can deliver good things like restoration of lost things, as we saw in that ad, where it can deliver better communication and such that it's actually better communication. I think there's limits to technology's ability to do that, where it fosters community and relationships as it can do, all those sorts of things. But I think we have to be really thoughtful about it, and we tend to be a bit unthinking in the way we absorb technology as like an sort of an unreserved good. So the next great advance is something puts us on a trajectory to something better. I think that isn't always the case. I think, you know, discussions around social media and these sorts of things are really good discussions to have, and the way they sometimes take over our lives and maybe limit the fruitfulness of real relating, those sorts of discussions. And then in an ultimate sense, you know, where do we put our trust? Where do we put our hope? Is it in technology or something else?
We're going to be picking up the theme of technology and its limits in our discussion of the movie Her.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good, I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody? How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
Mark Stevens has joined us in the studio. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to be here, Simon.
Now, you've seen this film, Her, which is out in cinemas. It tells the story of Theodore Twombly, who seems like something of a loner. He retreats to his apartment and, I gather, mostly relates to his mobile phone or the computer setup. So we're in the future where an operating system creates a persona that you can relate to and it's tailored to the needs of the user. That's the premise of the film, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's artificial intelligence. You answer a few questions. In fact, you answer one and then the operating system maps to who you are. Yes.
Wow. And this presents a kind of interesting picture of the world. What is that picture, do you think?
The picture begins with you can have a relationship. You can be intimate with this person because this person is actually taking on the characteristics of a personality. They kind of have humour, they kind of have the ability to want to relate to you, they desire the things you desire. But then the interesting thing in the movie is that the persona actually develops a life of its own beyond Theodore and becomes their own person, so to speak. So they kind of match up with how we grow as people.
That character is played by Scarlett Johansson. Yeah,
which is somewhat distracting to hear Scarlett's voice. It might have been better to have been voiced by someone a little bit more anonymous, but yes, it's Scarlett's voice, yes.
It basically suggests that you don't need to have a body in order to have a relationship. That seems what the film's getting at in some ways?
That's partly what it's exploring. I mean, in one sense, the film's not trying to definitely say certain things, but certainly raising lots of questions. And part of it is she originally longs for a body, but then seems to move beyond that and actually enjoys relationships that are completely disembodied, where she can relate with thousands of people at once.
Sherry Turkles talks about the fact in the modern world we seek intimacy with our machines and less with other people. That sounds like the sort of idea that's being explored in this film.
Absolutely. So Theodore is very much kind of consumed by her and correspondingly is quite awkward with other people. So finds himself unable to really succeed in the flesh and blood world, but finds that someone who maps to him kind of provides or meets his needs, at least initially. The irony being that he himself is actually in his job someone who actually helps flesh and blood people express their love to one another. So he, by day, writes letters for people on behalf of other people. So I want to say something lovely to my wife. So he writes the letter for this aspiring lover.
Mark, in a lot of films that deal with, artificial intelligence, you've got this thing where the robots are actually more human than the humans themselves, like in Blade Runner, let's say. Is that the case with her? Is Samantha more human than your average human?
To begin with, I think she has that sense about her of being, she's kind of mastered life in a far greater way than Theodore has, and he's a kind of pathetic imitation of what humanity should be. But then ultimately, I think Spike Jonze is trying to actually say that she kind of isn't human, that she actually moves beyond that and she doesn't relate like a human, and therefore to ask her to be human is actually an illegitimate thing, whereas Theodore's got to learn how to be human. Theodore's got to learn how to be comfortable in his own skin. So in one sense, the ultimate thing that it kind of says is she's not the same kind of thing as Theodore. Even though she starts out like that, she doesn't end up like that.
Is there a lesson for us then in the ways that we engage with technology?
Well, I think technology can't fulfill the things that human beings can naturally fulfill. Like if we can't simply swap out other human beings for our devices. Our devices can't sit in that space. And in the end, the more that we try and treat our devices as things which replace other human beings in our life, the more we're going to end up addicted, enslaved, or in a world of hurt. And we need to learn how to place our devices within the context of our relationships rather than replacing them.
Now, Mark, you've talked about the fact that this film speaks about the importance of embodiment. Mm-hmm. Do you want to just talk about that for a moment, the idea of the human body being a really important part of who we are?
The human body is so important in all sorts of ways, and I think the very things that we think limit us are actually the things that we need to get used to and celebrate. So the fact of locality, so the fact that a human body, you have to be engaged with what's in front of you. And so we're so often now at dinner, we're so often now out to dinner with friends and checking our phones because we so often are present but we're not present. And I think the human body reminds us that we're at our best when we're fully present. I think the human body is something that is core to our enjoyment of life. And so we need to relish in the physicality without only totally giving ourselves over to the physicality of it. So there is a kind of virtual sex scene in the film, but it's awkward, it's weird, it's strange, and it feels improper to the task. And so I think embodiment is something that we need to relish in, even in its limitations, as being at the core of human identity.
Yeah, the Christian depiction of that is interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes in the history of the church, probably the body's been forgotten about. But I think Orthodox Christian teaching would really make the body important in terms of our identity and our thorough kind of humanness.
Absolutely. So the Christian story from the get-go is that human beings are fleshly, earthly creatures breathed into from the dirt, so to speak. Adam means kind of a dirt clod type of word. And the ultimate goal of Christian, the end in Christian theology, is the resurrection of the body, not the immortality of an immaterial soul. And so we will never lose that sense of embodied existence and even, I would say, sensuality. And so we need to not be afraid of that, but we need to put it in proper perspective.
I'm lying on the moon.
Falling in love is a crazy thing to do. It's kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity.
What does a baby computer call its father?
I don't know what.
Data. It's so quiet.
So on Life and Faith today, we've been talking about our technologies and how our tools shape us as much as we shape them. And I guess something that has come up through both of the things that we've discussed today is the question of limits. You know, Samantha desires a limitless existence, and yet Theodore must also learn how to be properly human, to respect his own body and the limitations that it delivers. Our human bodies remind us that we are located and that there is wisdom in being fully present to our limits. And sometimes we can forget that in our relationship with technology. But it's been a good reminder. So join us next time on Life and Faith.